This is Father Hardin's lecture on the practice of constant prayer. Our focus is on how do you help others to grow in the spirit and practice of constant prayer. First, a general observation. This is not merely teaching others how to pray, which is an art all by itself. It is rather helping them maintain a constant spirit of prayer. It's the constancy that is the special focus of these reflections. First, some synonyms. This constant prayer may be called the spirit of recollection. It may be called attention to divine things. It is by many spiritual masters called virtual prayer. Others call it habitual prayer. The term I have come to use, and it is as valid as the rest, is prayer of the heart. Now first, let's define prayer in general, which is the standard definition. Prayer may be defined as the voluntary response to the awareness of God's presence. Let me briefly analyze the definition, because without this kind of preliminary reflection, the prayer of the heart will be less clear than I hope it might be. We first say God's presence. We are always present to God. It's an article of faith. It also stands to reason. And what do we mean? The word presence means that God is always working in our favor. Presence means influence. Presence means impact. Presence means giving. Presence means befitting. Presence means doing something for the person, affecting a person. Why can and why must we say that we are always present to God? Because God is the first cause, not in the terms of our origin, but in terms of sustaining us and concurring with everything we are and that we do. We have to be present to God, otherwise we wouldn't even continue to exist. When did we begin to be present to God? The moment He made us. How present are we to God? As much as we depend on God. How much is that? Totally. That's the foundation for prayer. But that is not yet prayer. We must be aware of this. This is no mere ordinary knowledge, but rather an alertness. Then, if I am this close to God, or He is this close to me, then I'm supposed to do something. I must be ready to react or respond. If I am always present to Him, which makes sense, He should be present to me. Prayer is a response of our presence to God. So then, what's the response? Our souls go out to Him as He is always going out to us. If our being present to Him is His giving us, you name it what, beginning with our existence, so we are to be always giving to Him. He gives us. The moment I start giving to Him, I begin to pray. Of course, it must be voluntary, because as by now we know from years of personal experience, we are constantly going out to people. Constantly. We are present to others. In fact, we are very present to ourselves. If then I want to go out to God and be aware of His working in my favor, I've got to give up going out to others. I've got to stop reading a magazine, turn off the TV set. I've got to stop listening to what somebody else is saying and respond to God. If this willingness is habitual, this readiness to go out to God is unqualified, fully determined. If it's the way we live, then we are already practicing constant prayer. All I can tell you, and I'm sure you know, the more people you come to know intimately, the more you realize that this is no mere ideal in the spiritual life. It's something towards which we all strive and help others to strive too. And depending on how many years you have worked with others, you may be embarrassed at the constancy of prayer of some people compared with the inconstancy of your own. Age here is no index of this firmness or constancy of prayer. Youngsters may have it, veterans may not. Once had, it can be lost. Or not having it is not a sign I can't acquire it. Now let's zero in here on the meaning of prayer of the heart. Prayer of the heart is the disposition of our will to always do whatever God wants of us. It is the disposition of our wills, and that's why, as in biblical language, heart commonly stands for the human will. It is that disposition of our wills which is always ready, always on the alert, to do whatever God wants of us. So the moment that I know what He wants, fine, Lord, I do it. Does He want us to suffer? All right, Lord, so I suffer. And as by now, you don't have to go into a long, involved research on just how we might possibly suffer. Does God want me to enjoy? We've talked about this before. There are some people who have a prejudice against joy. You can't blame some people that they are prejudiced against pain because they have so much of it. Nevertheless, God wants us to have joy. Does God want us to undertake something we've never done before? Nobody has ever tried it. Or maybe the last 10 times I tried it, I failed. That's not the point. Is it God's will? Does God want me to undergo trial, a difficulty, a position for which I feel I'm unequipped, unprepared? Does God want me to give up? I suppose for most, well, in my years in the priesthood, and I don't keep records, I have no computer records, but for most people, this is the hardest kind of prayer of the heart to practice, giving up. And that for very good reasons. God is good. We've been thanking Him for so long. Lord, how great Thou art. And the Lord seems to be telling me to give that up, either because it's physically removed from my life and I've got to give it up in my heart, or it is still in my life and I must somehow become detached. Giving up, I think, is the hardest thing for most people. To cooperate with others, all I know is that there are many things, speaking for myself, that I can do better, more quickly, more efficiently, by myself. And it may be that that's God's will. But in many cases, it's not. And in the religious life, especially for the young religious, this practice of constant prayer needs to be cultivated more than other things, because in a country like ours, where we have almost canonized individuals and individuality, the idea of working with others must be learned and cultivated, and just for the sake of working with others. The importance, therefore, of every community from the earliest days, giving the young or the not so young, depending on the date of entry, the young in religious life, the opportunity of working with others. In any case, constant prayer means seeing God's will in the need to cooperate with others. And it means also that the religious communities should cultivate this spirit of cooperation. Not just exhorting people to cooperate, but giving them the framework, the context for cooperation. In teaching others, it's a good idea to tell the people to regularly stop to reflect on God's providence at various times in the day. God is always there. That's what we mean by His presence. That we may be unaware of that presence. Hence the importance of reminding myself that this is God who wants me to do it. Whatever it is, whether a person or a situation or a trial or a misunderstanding, that God is the reason for it. And then the moment I find myself being irritable or impatient, that I tell God, Lord, I'm sorry for being impatient with you. All I can say as we close this subject is that God's providence completely envelops our lives. Unless we take time out to remind ourselves, God is behind this. God is in it. Except for Him, this wouldn't have occurred. I wouldn't have had this occasion, this opportunity, this mistake. The habit, therefore, of awareness of God's will in every situation in life is the basis for constant prayer of the heart. I might add that we grow in this constancy of prayer of the heart in the degree to which we recognize that nothing in our lives is by chance. There is a purpose for everything. And I would especially emphasize that there is especially a purpose in God's providence in allowing us to make mistakes and to do wrong. And the more ambitious we are, the more desire to succeed, and the more humiliated we are by failure, the more you have to keep seeing God in everything, especially in the painful experiences, particularly on the part of other people. Prayer of the heart, the masters of the spiritual life tells us, is open to everyone who is willing to respond to God's will. I might add, in spite of appearance, this prayer of the heart is not merely a question of developing, say, a good moral habit, that I've done something so often and so long that I've got into the habit of doing it. Repetition, psychologically speaking, induces a habit. It's more than that here. What we are talking about is meriting grace. Every time that I am aware of God's presence and I act accordingly, I merit a deeper intimacy with God and a greater generosity for responding quicker the next time. Even as I conclude, I say to myself, I don't think I've been as clear as I should like. Let's go back to the terms we used. We spoke of recollection. We spoke of being aware of God's presence. We spoke of habitual prayer. What is it? It is not a mental attitude, this prayer of the heart. This prayer of the heart means that you do something. Because if we claim to be ready to do God's will, that's the way we've defined it. Now, God's will, and I am sure I will be clear, God's will does not enter our lives only occasionally or sporadically or periodically. God's will is manifested in us, inviting our response constantly. This is a perfect setup for the actual grace we are going to look at and study in our class on the theology of grace. I repeat, this matter of awareness, of attention, is not mainly mental. This matter of disposition and readiness is not mainly volitional, because if I honestly feel that I am ready to do God's will, the only question is, how often? How often does, and I, Lord, enlighten me that I might be clear, how often does God ask us to do His will? What's the answer? Always. Always. Consequently, this matter of constant prayer is no mental, spiritual situation. It is indeed interior, but it is somehow to manifest itself in action. Now, the action itself may be in itself an imminent action. It may be that God's will for me in a given situation is to make an act of resignation and accept His will. I don't bat an eye or even blink in doing God's will. God is constantly visiting us with His grace. Constantly. Constantly. He is always, 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 without interruption, always. So the only question is, how aware am I of His will? And being aware, ready to do it. I think not a few people could say to themselves, but I never knew that that was God's will. It was just the situation I found myself in. Well, I say to them, or to him, or to whoever it is, dear father, or dear sister, or dear friend, well, you've learned something. So much for the practice of constant prayer.